Today is Sunday, October 7th, 2007. This is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson recording show number 246 along with E, who is back.
I am back.
You were away last week.
I was.
You were in Oregon.
Yes.
Is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay.
It's actually neither of what you said, but nice try for an East Coaster.
But I said Oregon.
No, you didn't.
What do I have to pronounce
it? You had weird emphasis on the syllables.
I do that sometimes. I have a weird accent. Well, welcome back. We got a lot going on.
There's a ton going on.
So in addition to all the news that's happening this week, of course, we saw the Halo Bungie news that hit on Friday.
Yep.
It's Bungie Microsoft news.
Yes.
Relationship Evolved is what I titled my post about it.
Yes.
So that we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, we've got some Halo stuff. I've got Marty O'Donnell, who is...
The man.
Audio producer extraordinaire. I mean, this video game, look at this. People are calling me. I don't even know who that is. So I'm just
gonna, I don't think we care.
Actually, hold on a second. You know, I'm going to take this call. Hold on a second. Okay. Hello? Can I call you back, man? Because I'm recording my show.
You're on the air.
Bye. So I took a phone call in the middle of there. Did you hear that?
I heard it and saw it.
Right.
Anyone interesting?
It's Tycho.
Oh. Hey, Tycho. How you doing?
So you should check it in. So anyway, we got a lot going on. We got the Bungie stuff. We have Marty on, who is just a genius.
Mr. Halo Music.
Well, he's Halo Music, but he's commercial. We'll talk about I got the interview coming up. We spent a whole hour together.
That's awesome.
He talked about, the commercials that he's done and audio commercials and jingles.
Jingles.
He's done jingles.
Jingles doesn't really do him justice.
No. And then the other thing that's all around this is, and this happens at Microsoft, as probably does a lot of large companies, we're moving offices.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that the most important part?
Right, so we're moving offices. You and I are sitting, this is the last show we're going to record in my office, because my office is moving, where it's going to be that loud.
Yes, that'll be nice. That'll be very nice. Although, the bad thing is, the packing,
mm-hmm.
and like I said before we started, I'm not done packing yet, and we're about out of crates. So
we have to put all our stuff in these crates, and then it goes to our new office.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do, but...
But you and I... So we've got... we're moving, so that's kind of crazy. So it's really just... and then, of course, World Cyber Games is this weekend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is... And then the other thing, which is actually interesting we can talk about, is... So this show's going live. We're recording it before you and I are... It kind of sounds crazy. We're going away for the weekend.
Okay, I wouldn't have put it quite like that. How about there's a big offsite...
Right.
Being held,
right.
That we're both going to.
I posted about this on the blog last week. You were invited because you're the operations director for Xbox Live, the live service.
Yes.
And I'm going to kind of facilitate and host and do my thing.
Good description. MC, kind of facilitator.
Right. So there's about 100, less than 100 like Microsoft folks that this is invite only. I was actually surprised I got invited to help out.
Well, so were the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be bringing the room down. But you guys are all going to... And I posted about this on the blog. It's really about Ray Ozzie, who is the chief software architect.
Chief software architect and chief technology officer, I think.
He's like the new Bill G.
Yes. For people who don't know, Ray Ozzie is, among other things, the father of Lotus Notes. He's been in the industry long, long time. A very smart guy.
He's very smart. So we're all going off to this. I can't tell you where we're going. Super top secret place.
It's a very nice place.
We'll talk about it on the next show.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be talking about software and services across all of Microsoft. No, I made a post about the fact I was going to be doing this, and some people didn't get what I was going for.
Right.
They were talking really about, well, we want to have Marketplace in Europe. Okay, yeah, we know that.
And we want this in the dashboard.
Yeah, so parts of the conversation devolved into an Xbox 360 feature discussion.
Yeah, the point of this offsite is for everyone at Microsoft who's involved in figuring out where services are going.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what kind of service. It could be Xbox Live. It could be Hotmail. It could be Live Earth.
Search.
Anything. Search. It's a chance for the leaders of those teams to get together and brainstorm and talk about what works and what doesn't and the trends that they're seeing and what things do we think we can do better as a company.
Right. So that's going to be this weekend. So you and I, you're coming over to my house and we're going to drive up in the Prius.
Yep.
That should be fun.
You get better gas mileage than I do. So
we'll do that this week. So yeah, so I mean, it's almost mind-blowing. Am I forgetting anything?
Let's see. Bungie, World Cyber Games.
Check.
There's a few people playing Halo 3.
Right.
There probably is something else, but I'm
we're moving.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back. So you're playing Halo 3?
Just a little bit. Not nearly as much as I want to. I've been busy. And plus, as I'm sure everyone can hear, I've had a stupid cold all week.
Yeah, where did you get that?
You
got that in Oregon.
I think it was driving back last Sunday. No. Driving back last Sunday, it was rainy and cold and crappy the whole time.
Right.
And I was fine Sunday morning when I woke up, and Sunday night, by the time it was time to go to bed, I started to feel cruddy, and Monday I couldn't even make it to work.
I don't want to get in a car with you to go to this place if you're going to be sick and sneezing
everywhere.
I'm fine
now. I just sound stupid.
Yeah, so.
I actually felt a lot better yesterday, but I was up late last night at a Halo 3 LAN.
You were talking about somebody. I heard you talking to somebody in the hallway. Tell us about this stupid game type that somebody.
Oh, God.
Somebody had you play.
So, actually, I don't know if the creator. Yeah, I think he does listen.
Okay.
Actually.
We're not going to give a name.
So. This is not a slam on the person, it's a slam on the game type. But
right.
I hated this game type so bad, I had to walk down a flight of stairs into the conference room that the creator was in and say, this is retarded, can we please do something else?
So for those of you that don't know, unless you've been living under a rock, in Halo 3 you can go in and modify some of the game types, some of the variables, some of where the weapons are, and so on and so forth. So
yes, so you can practically create your own maps almost.
Right.
You can do everything but change the actual layout of the ground and,
right.
and the water and stuff. And people are still getting a feel for what works and what doesn't, and they're experimenting.
Right.
And this game type was on Narrows.
Which is a bridge.
It's a bridge with man cannons on either side of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was King of the Hill with the hill in the air. So you basically had to go through the man cannon. It would carry you through the hill.
So the man cannon, you basically have to go back and forth in the man cannons to.
Right.
So you could really at most get a second in the hill.
And you're bouncing off people who are going through the man cannon the
and
other
all the,
way.
And when you bounce or you hit somebody, you drop to your death.
Yes.
So you got to respawn.
And most of the bridge was actually blocked off by teleporters, and they were going all over the place. And it hurt my head.
What would be interesting now, I'm going to look at that. If you were able to take that game type and then put a teleporter below it, so that when you fell, you teleported back to one side.
Well, the problem is you'd need a string of teleporters going all the way from one man
right.
to the other.
Right.
Because you don't know where you're going to bump into somebody.
Right, and where your body's going to fall to. Right, that's a good point.
It was just annoying.
Okay.
So, but we had a lot of fun. There was, 12, 14 of us.
Yeah, because I was I was looking for you last night when I was playing. I'm like, where the hell's E?
It's still fun to get together every once in a while and do a LAN as opposed to playing on live, and
right.
Get some takeout, some pizza or Chinese or whatever.
What'd you have? Takeout and pizza.
Bunch of other people had pizza. My girlfriend and I got
worst pizza in the world.
Salad and stuff.
Northwest cannot do pizza.
The
Northwest can't do pizza.
There's some good pizza here.
Yeah,
it's not as prevalent as New York.
Right,
I will freely admit that.
I walk into a pizza place and say I want a slice, and they look at me like, "What?"
Hey, there are. Right on the Oregon campus, there's a phenomenal New York Pizza by the Slice place. Little hole in the wall. It's been there since I was going to school there.
All right.
So, Size Pizza.
We had one at Syracuse.
All you Ducks, Size Pizza. Go get a slice.
We had one at Syracuse called Varsity.
Well,
Varsity Pizza.
They probably have more wins than your football team.
Yeah, well, you're one to talk.
Hey, we lost one game.
We won one game.
We're still ranked 13th in the nation. Well, 14th in the nation. Yeah. Syracuse would be... Not ranked. That's
not ranked, right. Yeah, not okay. NR. Yes. All right, let's get back to Xbox stuff. So we've been playing Halo. I know we talked about we got a ton of games going out. PGR 3 came out. I haven't even had a chance to play it.
PGR 4.
PGR 4.
Yes.
Wow.
I haven't touched it either.
PGR 4 is out.
There's a ton of games. Orange Box just went gold.
Ooh, so I can't wait for that.
Tuesday?
What's that mode in Orange Box? The
Team Fortress?
No. That little game.
Portal?
Portal, yeah.
Portal, yeah.
I really want to play that.
So I think it's Streets next Tuesday? It's very soon.
You and I may be back by then.
I'm seriously considering taking a 360. Although
are we? Because I got to take my MU.
Well, the problem is, it's just like any other hotel. Are you going to be able to hook it up to anything?
Well, if I bring mine and you bring yours?
And say, can you unhook it? And
well, if I bring mine and you bring yours, we can at least play System Link.
And well, or if I bring an AP, we can just set up a wireless network.
That's Access Point for those of you trying to figure out what the networking guy's talking about.
Yes. I was seriously considering it just because late at night, I could at least play campaign in score mode. and rack up some stuff.
Yeah, maybe, so. Maybe that's a good idea. Some demos out on Marketplace this week. Looney Tunes, Acme Arsenal went up, B-Movie Game, Tetris Splash was the arcade title for this week. Thrillville Off the Rails. Did you download that and take a look at that?
I'm afraid to admit I don't even know what that is.
It's like a roller coaster thing.
Oh.
You know, a roller coaster sim.
As in, like, sim the park and build roller coasters and things?
Yeah, that's why I understand it, yeah.
Oh,
build a roller coaster.
I like those kind of games. I'll check that out.
The what else did I play last night? I threw in Fatal Inertia, Gundam, Warrior Orochi, which if you look at the graphic of that, it looks like Warrior's crotch. Have you seen it?
I have not seen the graphic. I've seen the name. You know the Dynasty Warriors Gundam?
Yep.
Not my thing. I'm not a big Dynasty Warriors fan. My 10-year-old loves it.
Really?
Thousands of giant robots.
Yeah, that's a good
point. And you can just wander around and just kill them, you know, by the hundreds. He thinks it's amazingly cool. Although right now, he's not playing anything but Halo 3.
You letting him play Halo 3?
Yeah.
And he has his gamer tag. You're not going to give his gamer tag out.
He has his gamer tag. He's got a few of my friends on his friends list. He's got his parental controls set so he can't hear strangers' voices, things like that.
Right.
He hops into matchmaking and has a blast. He loves it.
Now, you know what I wanted to talk about was, let me see if I can pull it up here, the press release, that speaking of Bungie, which we're going to talk about in just a second, $300 million Halo 3 made in 1 week.
Yep.
So, it says, I'm just going to read some of the bullet points here. More than 2.7 million gamers have played Halo 3 on live this week. You know that because your servers have been, the hamsters have been spinning like crazy.
Yes.
Within the first day of its launch, Halo 3 players racked up more than 3.6 million hours of gameplay. And then it increased to 40 million by the end of the week. So,
did we say anything publicly about like the number of achievements in GamerScore?
Well, we talked about it, that Halo 3 users have unlocked nearly 30 million achievements in a week.
Yeah, the GamerScore number was like some ridiculous number per minute. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was like 80 million gamer score a minute or something
like goofy
that.
Like that. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. So Halo 3 was a huge hit, and then so that was followed up with the news that our friends at Bungie are going to spin off by themselves.
Yes,
and they're going to do their own thing. Although,
now, I want to start off this part of the discussion
yes.
by saying, everyone who's listening, don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Come down off your rooftops.
Okay,
this isn't, you know, some horrible, oh my God, end of the world scenario.
Yep.
This is good for Bungie. It's good for us. I actually honestly believe that. This is not just me trying to spin.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're just in Kirkland, which is just down the street. They're not going anywhere, and they're our largest title, and they're gonna be they want to try different stuff.
They want to try some different stuff. MGS is still publishing their games. They get a little more freedom, and they're excited about that. This way, they're still making games for us.
Right.
I mean, the thing people need to remember is, I mean, okay, Microsoft owned Bungie. We didn't own the people.
Right.
If they were unhappy, they could have always left.
Right.
Now, they're still going to make games for Xbox.
Yep.
And everyone wins.
Yeah, they want to be an independent developer and, you know, work on producing some of the best content for us and the Xbox 360 and, you know, whatever other platforms happen along. So
yeah. I've been working very closely with those guys since, you know, about a year before Halo 2 came out.
Right.
And ever since then, we've had a very close relationship between the live team and Bungie.
Well, you have to with what Halo 2 did and what Halo 3 has done.
Yeah. Without very deep knowledge of what the other team is up to, it's just not going to work.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, we love what they do. They love what we do. They're huge Xbox Live fans over there.
Yeah.
They understand how much, you know, synergy there is between their games and what we do. And that doesn't change just because, you know, their business cards look different.
Yeah.
So
that's true. I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion on that over the weekend, so. There has been already.
The internet is going a little crazy, and it'll die down. And, you know, most people are too busy actually playing Halo 3 and having fun
right.
to really spaz out about it.
Which is the most important thing. So. I'm having a lot of fun with that. I really am. We played the other night. You weren't around. You know what? You and I need to get a custom game going and just keep our friends list open and invite people in. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's fine. And, you know, we all this talk about we're going to play through campaign.
Right.
We haven't even started to play campaign together yet.
Oh, no, not together. I finished it and you finished it together, right. But we haven't done any co-op together.
Yeah. I still need to do... I have not done co-op on Legendary yet, so we should just fire that up this weekend and get started.
Yeah, I am. I got all excited because I found a skull. They obviously put an easy one in there for Major to find. I was like, and apparently it's a silver one. It's not a gold one. So I didn't get any armor or anything else like that. So I was all excited, but yeah. And all these guys are playing with all their armor and stuff. And
so that reminds me. So one of my, this is a very minor thing, but one of my favorite things about Halo 3.
Yep.
So regular listeners will remember my complaints about the bug in Halo 2 where you could see my gamer tag over my head.
Right, which you see.
Like through walls.
Right, just all the time.
Yeah, and it made it very easy to snipe me and know what I was up to. There's now something far more obvious than me in Halo 3.
Which is?
The Bungie employees have, their heads are on fire.
Right, they're flaming.
So, and what's really funny is I was playing with Bathari the other day and he picks up the camo. And his head's still on fire, even though he's invisible.
Oh, really? It's got active active camo fire?
Active camo, but there's still this flame walking around the room. It was awesome. So now there's someone that's far more visible than me.
Right.
Great distraction.
Right, great. Yeah, don't worry about it.
You go out there and get their attention. I'll go around and get the flag.
So I want to stop down right now and roll the interview that I did with Marty, which was just a couple days ago. And you'll hear throughout the interview, this was only the second time I've ever been over to Bungie Studios. You've been over there a ton.
Yeah, they like me more than you.
I've been over there. This is the second time. The first time I was there was before they started Halo 3.
Right.
And then this is the second time where we got to sit and hang out in Marty's studio.
Which is awesome.
Right.
Which his studio is just amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we just hung out. So here's the interview I did with Marty, and I just had a great time. All right, Halo 3 is probably the biggest game of the decade. Would you say that, Marty?
Decade.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever. I'm sitting here with Marty O'Donnell, who is who's audio legend.
Yeah.
Audio,
that's this should be on my business card.
Audio
Thanks.
Legend.
I'm going to do that. Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Marty is the man behind the audio and music used in the Halo series, among other games, and we'll talk about your history in a second. But you and I have been talking about doing this for a while, and you know we didn't want to do it a year ago because it didn't make any sense.
Right.
Now that this huge thing is out there, Halo 3. Where were you for the launch, by the way?
I was here. Actually, it was really fun. I went to the Best Buy thing.
The
Bellevue one.
With Bill.
And Bungie had a party here for friends and family only.
Right.
And it was funny because during the day...
I want to cut you off.
Yeah.
Here
at Bungie.
Which is a place that I have been literally twice in my life.
And this is your second time.
This is my second time because I'm not allowed in here. I was here before you, literally the week after you guys moved in and all your stuff was all boxed up.
Right.
And then now I'm here. I haven't been allowed in since.
It is a fortress. We mainly because we know there's so many, we had 150 guys eventually by the end of this thing. We had at least 150 people working on the game. And there's so many secrets we'd like to keep out of the hands of the public, because I think people appreciate the game more if they don't have anything spoiled for them. And not that you, Larry, would ever spoil anything.
No, of course not. I'm okay with that.
Yes.
You know, I actually, you know, when I was in, because I was in New York, I was in New York with Harold and the rest of some of the guys from the team, and everybody, I never got my copy of the game early.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and played the game, and I even put on my, you know, on my messenger, I'm like, leave me alone. I want to finish the campaign on my terms.
Oh, good.
I avoided all the YouTube stuff and everything else.
And that was, I mean, that's, if I had, could have just been a fan of the game. That's exactly what I would have, like, turned the TV off. I wouldn't have wanted to watch any marketing pieces. I would have wanted just to play the game unadulterated. So we work really hard at keeping, you know, the doors locked here. It's not to be mean to anybody, but at the party, the launch night, one of our guys said, hey, you know, it was Michael Wu, was one of our artists, and he actually said he had a dream that Bill was at our party.
Right.
Bill Gates.
Right.
And so we thought, well, gee, yeah. Maybe we should invite him.
Right.
And so we did, and he absolutely wanted to come. He was going to do the thing at Best Buy, and he decided to stop by here he was here for about an hour and a half, and mingled with the 300, 400 people that were here, and watched a couple of fun videos up on the big screen, and it seemed like he really enjoyed himself. We had a blast.
Well, you're just right down the street from his house.
Right, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, really, he just lives up the street. But yeah, I've talked with him a couple of times, great guy.
I'm sure you have. And the thing is, I've met him... You know, he's visited Bungie Studios back when we were at the other building, and we've seen him a couple of times at some things. We made a presentation to him, I think, before the E3-06 presentation. We went to his place to show him what we were going to...
I think that was the last time I saw you.
Could be.
Outside the Chinese theater.
Yeah, okay, that might be. But he's always been really nice and supportive, and what was fun is that... the security guy called me and said, hey, so you're the point man. I was the point man. Harold was in New York. So I was the point man to be the guy who meets and greets Bill and brings him in and shows him around. And so I kept expecting this security contingent and black limousines and black helicopters.
The helicopter,
and
the whole thing.
I thought the whole thing, yeah. And instead, the security guy comes about a half hour early and, you know, he says, I'm just going to be sort of out of the way, just making sure things are okay.
Right.
And then, boom, Bill just drives up in his car.
Right. Did you know what he drives? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, no, you can say what it is.
I'm not going to say what it is.
All right.
Okay.
but it's not anything that calls great attention to itself.
Which is standard Bill.
Yeah, standard Bill. And he's just driving. He just gets out of his car and comes up and is just friendly. And the fun part was that once he got in here, he was being sort of crowded by many, many people who wanted their picture taken with
him. Right, of course.
And he was absolutely gracious and friendly for everything. And I finally got him a drink and let's sit on the couch over here. And at one point I said, wow, this just happens to you all the time, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, most of the time I'm stuck in a room with a bunch of engineers. It's pretty boring. So.
Yeah, interesting. That's good.
So
good turn for
him.
He
was having fun.
Yeah, I know he loves coming down here because he's a big fan of the games and because it's, you know, he's all about software and the game is just it's software.
It is software, but actually, so this is, I'm going to give you my little theory on this.
Okay.
It's made with software, but actually, I think the reason we're successful is because it's entertainment.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, not to contradict you, but I think that entertainment software is the software that I use to make music or the software the artists use to make art.
Right.
And we certainly are using software a lot in the fact that it's interactive entertainment.
Right.
But I think it's not a tool for people to make something else with. It's actually pure entertainment. Even I think Forge and some of these and the saved films and all that. It feels almost like it's software, but it's still
fun.
It's for your fun. It's for entertainment. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, what I'm saying is it's built with software.
Oh,
You're right. You come at a totally different way.
Well, Bill when he was here, we showed him the video of Forge that explains Forge and the saved films, and I think he never stopped smiling. I think he saw how excited our engineers and the artists are to allow all the fans to play with all of the sandbox that we've created. And we're so looking forward to seeing what everybody ends up doing with this stuff because we think that if, you know, people have just scratched the surface, it's just beginning to
dawn on people
what might be potentially possible with this thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a monster. I mean, we're only a week after it's launched. I mean,
That's true.
seems like forever ago,
already,
but it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that I'm getting folks emailing me game variants and the screenshots, you know, all that cool in-game sharing stuff. The other thing, you know, and I urge people right now, if they're playing the game, go press start and go over to Bungie Favorites and download some of the ones that you guys over here on the team have put up there, some of the game variants or the screenshots or the types.
Right, and our guys are going to keep looking at that. We're all going to keep looking at the crazy cool stuff that people just do, and we're gonna search through all that stuff and try to cherry-pick all the best stuff we can.
So I want to talk about Marty and what you do and how you created the audio for Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? I mean, were you not really doing anything for a couple of years? And then last year when the guys came to you and said, okay, here's what we're kind of thinking.
Yeah.
How does the process work?
Well, the process works. I've worked with Bungie. I started working with Jason Jones and Alex Seropian back in 1996. So I'm over 11 years now with these guys, and the process has grown and changed over the years. But I'm basically responsible for anything audio, and that includes all the voice work, and then even the actors and the directing of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes down to even directing actors, I want to be so involved in the story that I know what we're trying to do with the story.
Right.
So casting and even the script itself, I'm sort of I wouldn't say I'm the final editor, but probably more so in Halo 3 than in the other first two games, I end up having a lot to do with the way we just sort of brought the story together just before we recorded the whole thing. So it's just a matter of working with our writers, Joe and Frank, and another guy, CJ, who's our cinematics director, Rob Stokes, who was one of our level designers, who did a lot of work on the story. So it was a sort of a group effort, and then we hand off to Joe to really do just the final polish on the writing. But at the same time, I'm looking at the script saying, hey, Joe, I don't want to have to score this scene that you wrote. I think this is weak. I think we need to change this.
So you're able to punch it up?
Well, or what? I'll punch it up. What I like to do with Joe especially is I'll say, and this happened a couple of times, CJ and I sat through because he's the cinematic director, so he's really thinking of it from shots. He's thinking of it from animation.
Right.
And so we're reading through the script, and I'll say, yeah, this looks weak to me here. I think it's going to be tough to get an actor to do this or that. So CJ and I would actually rewrite the scene, mm-hmm. and then I would give it to Joe and say, okay, Joe, make this better. Otherwise, I'm going to record that.
Right, right.
And he would want to kill me, of course.
Of course.
Because he always does. But, yeah, that was essentially what happened. We had another guy who was a consultant for us, who was a screenplay writer from Hollywood named Peter O'Brien, who came up and worked, you know, very closely with us. Spent a lot of time with both Rob and Joe working on the story and working on the script. And he was the guy who went through all the final changes with Joe at the end. And I had spent the previous day with Peter, so it wasn't me directly with Joe, because
right.
that's a little abrasive
sure.
for both of us, even though we love each other. But it was me and Peter O'Brien going through some stuff, and then Peter and Joe going through the final polish. And that worked really, really well, at least from my perspective. You'll have to ask Joe how he feels about it.
I would love to. How is it different scoring and doing the audio for a game versus maybe what you've seen, a film or a television show or something non-interactive?
Right. Well, one of the nicest things for me is I've done a lot of film work. I've done a lot of television and radio and especially commercials. Most of the time the music is, you know, of course, almost always the last thing that goes on. And it's also something where there's a director, there's a sound effects guy, there's a final mix guy, and there's all these other people who have their hands in the whatever the project happens to be. And then the music guy is just sort of brought in
yeah.
to try to make it whatever. And I saw that in the game business, if I could be in the process earlier, and if I could shepherd all the audio and music all the way through, that I would have, as an audio director of a game, I would have a lot more influence from the beginning through to the end. So that was really exciting to me. So I can make sure that the audio experience is more of a vision of mine that I can have the rest of the team either buy into mm-hmm. or help change, but I can be there as a part of the visionary leadership of the game rather than just sort of the frosting on the cake that happens at the very end.
Right.
So by living with the game, living with the designers, living with the writing, living with everything about the story for all this time, when it finally does come down to now I'm going to start writing music for the different sections, I have a really intimate knowledge of what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's better than just sort of coming in. I think it's better than just coming in cold right at the end, or even sort of being so far outside the process, which happens a lot in other game companies. Well, they'll hire an outside game composer, music composer, just to write a bunch of music that the guy throws over the wall and hopes some
that
engineer throws into the game in a good way.
Right.
And that isn't done as much as it used to happen, especially on AAA titles. But I still think being in-house, being part of the process from the beginning all the way through to the end really helps out.
I mean, I have so many things to ask you. When you're reading the script and you see, you know, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers, so don't
sure.
worry about that, and I wouldn't do that. But when you see, you know, a funny Cortana voice, how do you come up with, like, I want to modify the voice like this, or how do you take what's in the written word that may be a description and translate it into
right.
something audio?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we I don't want to give anything away here either,
right.
but even from the beginning of before we did the E3-06 trailer, which was that trailer was really saying, "Hey, world, Bungie's making Halo 3."
Right.
If you
even
remember,
though everybody thought you
everybody
guys...
knew we were doing it, but it was like we realized that this was the announcement: we're making Halo 3, and here's the kind of feeling you're going to have when you play the game. Hopefully, we knew that the fans knew that Cortana was gone and that she was in the hands of the Gravemind. And so we really sort of just built off what would it be like in what ways could we hint at that she's in trouble mm-hmm. or she might be having problems? We knew she couldn't be communicating directly to Master Chief, although we could hint at it as though she might be.
Mm-hmm.
But so one of the fun things was, I sat here, we had Jen Taylor come in and read the lines, which were sort of cryptic and mystical and interesting.
Right.
And then it was just a matter of, well, I want her to sound not like Cortana at the beginning and then by the end be completely clean and just this is the way the world ends, to be without any effect at all. And it was just a progression of, like, how do we make her sound not like Cortana and perhaps possessed by
sure.
the Flood or
right.
whatever, but not to directly say this is Cortana as a Flood, because we're not going to pay that off.
Right.
We're not trying to say that's what's going on. But just to give people that sense of unease and that something's really wrong. So it was fun. You could just be creative. It was an organic process of mutating her voice, adding some other satanic voices around it.
Yeah, almost as if the voice, it's for lack of a better term, it comes into focus.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you're looking at a video shot and it's out of focus and mm-hmm. all of a sudden it snaps into focus.
Right.
I want to talk to you about the E3 06 trailer.
Sure.
And I don't know if you want to do this. We're going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you want to play him for me?
Oh, you know what? I don't have anything set up.
Oh, you don't have anything set up. All right.
That's a silent keyboard
okay.
at this moment. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So it's the those notes that we hear. Yeah. How did you come up with those?
That's, you know, I don't know where some of that comes from.
Right. It's just one of those creative things.
Yeah, it's a creative thing. So there are times when here's the way I approach music is, there's a point where I know I need something.
Right.
I need something musical. And sometimes I'll be in my car, like for the Monk theme itself, that was in 1999. I was actually in my car and I'm thinking, you know, what would be cool to start this off is, some sort of Gregorian chant monk sounding thing.
Right.
And so I just started singing a bunch of Gregorian chant type melodies.
In your car.
In my car. Until I came up with the one that I thought, oh, okay, I like that. That's got it's a little bit asymmetrical. It has one high point. It has
right.
one low point.
Right. It's balanced.
It fits the kinds of things I like to do as a melody. I like it. Now I'm gonna produce that. And then I'll sit at my keyboard, and if I'm thinking, well, let's see, I need something. And I think I told you this before, maybe, or I've told somebody, but I was just playing some notes. Just to cue the picture, so I knew, yeah, at this point, Cortana comes on, and wait, and boom, at this point, Cortana comes back on. And I just was playing these octaves on the piano just as an audio cue. Of
right.
When, and I thought, well, I need to fill that in, but I'll hear that play back, and I'll know that's when Cortana's on. And actually hearing those octaves was actually sort of striking, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I can do something actually on the piano.
Right.
And
because it's so clean,
yeah,
and it's such a clean sound.
And then I played that little motive. Believe it or not, I think it just came out. I just played it.
Your brain to the fingers.
It just, all of a sudden, I played that, and I'm like, oh, I like that.
Right.
That gave me a little sort of happy, sparkly, chill,
yep.
fanfare feel. And I thought, you know, I think that's going to work. I think that's a nice motive that has a very triumphant returning kind of theme to it. And so what happens for me is when I'm playing music that hasn't actually hopefully been played before by somebody, when I'm trying to play original music, I kind of wait until something gives me a little emotional charge, and then I go, okay, I need to remember that, or I need to write that down, or
right.
I need to expand that. So I usually feel like if I've done something that makes me feel an emotion, then there's a good chance other people will feel emotions.
Now, you were in the audience down at E3 06
mm-hmm.
when that first rolled out mm-hmm. onto the big screen with that audience. What was that like? I mean, people kind of, because if you remember correctly, I think, I don't know who it was. Was it Peter Moore at that time? But we ended the E3, and it was the, oh, one more thing. You know, the
yeah.
Steve Jobs, we have one more thing.
Right. As a matter of fact, and that was what was fun. It was Bill Gates was there and Peter Moore, and then he did the, oh, one more thing.
Right.
And of course, it was not a surprise to anybody that it was Halo, but I think it got everybody's attention right away. We on purpose tried to make some emotional statements in that trailer. We tried to build from almost nothing to a big emotional climax. There was a couple of times when during the production of it where I was actually wondering if we had gone overboard. I was wondering if we were. And as a matter of fact, in Halo 3, I felt the same way. I keep wondering, did I go too far this time? Is it too maudlin? Is it too trying to be too emotional? And I don't think we have yet. So I hope.
From everything I've read, I want to talk, step back from Halo for a second, talk to you about game audio as a whole. I'm a big fan of it because I do this podcast all the time and I spend so much time in radio. What games do you listen to and go, yeah, that sounds great? Like, did you listen to BioShock?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, Gary Scheinman is a friend of mine who I'm going to be actually on a panel with in November. He's the composer for BioShock, and he's worked with those people on some other projects. The sound design and the music in that game is brilliant. I mean, it's just great, and it's a new. I'm not going to say it's a new franchise. Who knows if it's going to be a franchise?
Right.
But it's a new thing.
Yeah.
And I just think they did a great job. So yes, it's one. Now, and there are so many composers right now who have done some just beautiful work in games. Jack Wall and Jason Hayes. You know, I'm going to leave some people out.
Right, and they're going
to
get
apologize
angry at you.
To everyone I leave out. But there's Gerard Marino. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Japanese composers like Nobuo Uematsu. All these guys, Jeremy Soule, who is just a brilliant composer. Mm-hmm. He just came by the other day to congratulate us too, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Now, what I would say is that these guys are unbelievably talented composers, and their degree of success has a lot sometimes to do with how successful a game is. And I think even their success as a composer has a lot to do with how much they're led into the process.
So this gets what you were saying earlier.
Exactly. I mean, I just feel like any of these guys could do or outdo anything I've done.
Sure.
If they had the same kind of access that I had.
Right.
And I think all the composers really deserve this kind of access to the process, because I think that's what makes it somewhat unique.
One of the things that I also want to talk about is the thing that I noticed, because I'm always listening for great audio, is the Japanese games are so different. They have such a light and airy sound about them versus, I'm not going to say that Halo 3 isn't light and airy in the stuff you do, but it's a different sound.
Right.
What do you think of that? I mean, it's...
Well, you know, it's funny. I've actually spent a lot of time lately playing Blue Dragon because I like Japanese RPGs, which is, you know, one of those funny things. I like all sorts of games.
So you're excited for Lost Odyssey?
I'm looking forward to it, yes. But I would just say that one of the things that they still seem, and I this is still something I think is a mistake, and it's the nonstop music.
Yeah,
there's always music playing.
Right,
and I just don't think there's any music that is worth listening to constantly.
Over and over and over again.
And so I just don't understand it. So to an extent, I think you're forced to either doing very ambient music that doesn't call too much attention to itself because otherwise it gets annoying, or you do very light, airy things that, you know, aren't too emotionally driven because it's either going to be just become wallpaper or it is going to become annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's a shame. I think it's just technically, aesthetically, it's the wrong approach. I wish they didn't do it. So...
Yeah,
I mean, that's just a choice I've made. It's a choice as a fan. I would rather hear music come in when music is needed to really explain emotionally what's going on and not just be a constant wallpaper.
Now, the one thing that's got to be challenging to when you're writing the music for Halo 3 specifically, because the user, the player, maybe spend extra time on that level.
Right.
You know, how do you know how many times to loop it is too much?
Right.
Or when do they not hit the right trigger point? Or that's got to be challenging to be able to write music that doesn't get old.
Yes, it is. And so I certainly have my palette of giant themes that are big and heavy and very, very light and airy kinds of things. In Halo 3, I actually had something that I did started in Halo 2, and I called it glue. And it was just sort of ambient music that would help, you know, potentially glue something maybe rhythmic or something more thematic, and I could use this to glue...
To get you from one spot to the other?
One spot to another, or even get you from one musical area to another, and it would be variable in length. It didn't matter how long the player spent as long as they were between, you know, 2 minutes and 4 minutes.
Right.
Otherwise, then I might say, you know, even that's going to stretch it too long. I'm going to have to just fade this out. So in Halo 3, I started using what – and this is just my own terminology. It's meaningless except to me. I used micro glue.
Sure.
Which is instead of – it has almost no musical form at all other than it's just high string sustain on a single note.
Right.
Low string sustain on a single note. Some, I have a synth pad that's just a single chord that sustains. And I would do it in all the different keys. So I knew that at any moment I could use that to just – start something or end something or glue something in a very simple, very micro way, just to cover what's actually might be happening with the player. So I, for example, if you play the very beginning of Halo 3, the game after the opening scenes, you hear you start walking through the jungle, it's just ambience. And then you hear the brutes.
Yep.
And somebody says, you know, that sounded close.
Right.
I bring in a little low string sustain, and that's all that is. It's just a loop that will go on forever unless you do the next thing. So if you happen to turn around and you start exploring the jungle, then it could be 30 seconds of just that.
Right.
Most people will probably keep going.
Keep going, right.
And then the next thing kicks in, some percussion, and then the phantom flies overhead, and that triggers the high string.
Right.
So I know these layers of sounds can work together, and they will make you feel like something scored happens, the way I would score it if it was a movie.
Right.
But it happens in a variable way. It doesn't happen the same every time. If you run through it, they'll happen pretty quickly. If you spend your time, it's possible that you could – there's a timeout on that low string, for example, which it's like, after 3 minutes, I'm going to just fade that away.
Yeah, you're done with it.
Right. So – and then along with that, like, for example, the percussion section has its own variable loops that are of different length and have different random weighting on what the odds are that they'll even be played. So if you were to record the music that plays at the beginning of the game for your playthrough, it will be different than for my playthrough. It'll even be different the second time you play through it.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be so violently different that it calls attention to itself, hopefully.
Right, right. We talked a lot about music. I want to step back a little bit and talk about some of the sound effects.
Sure.
You talked a little about working with Jen Taylor, the voice of Cortana. You talked about the jungle level, which is the first level of the game. There's some amazing audio in there. I actually stopped and listened.
Oh, good. Excellent.
And it was just – it was like being in a jungle. How did you capture some of those sounds? What can we hear?
You know what? There are some strange creatures in that mix, and the guy who put it together was one of my guys, C. Paul Johnson. C. Paul, I've given most of the task of doing ambient sounds to him. He just loves it. He would go out and record stuff all over the place. He would find stuff online from Africa, you know, nature programs. Not even nature programs. I think he actually – there was some naturalist that actually has recordings of very unique insects and birds and stuff, and he made some sort of.
I mean, it's what's interesting to that point.
I don't even know what there was a kookaburra or something in some place, and I remember saying, "Would that bird actually show up in this part of the jungle?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know, but it sounds cool." And I'm like, "Yep, good enough."
Yeah, it's just because everything sounds kind of familiar, but you don't know where you are,
right.
And it's not really familiar. And in that particular case,
Larry, we use the same technique with that too, which is it's not just a single track; it's multiple layers of randomly triggered things, so you really never hear the same thing twice. Although, you know. The sound of a fly buzzing, there's not that much variety in it. So if I have 10 little sounds of flies buzzing, but if they all play back at random moments, it's the way it is in nature. So that's cool.
Yeah, nature tends to be random.
It's very random.
Do you think there's things that maybe, you know, you talked about taking 3 minutes to go through a level or maybe some longer. Do you think there's some audio that people haven't heard yet?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially when it comes to the – well, of course, now we're talking about the artificial intelligence of the game, and we have 35,000 lines of combat dialogue.
Versus – what are some of the other games you want, like Halo 2?
Well, I think we started with about 6,000 for Halo 1, and I think we were maybe 18,000 for Halo 2.
Right.
And people are still finding lines in Halo 2 that they hadn't heard. And now that people have found some of the Easter eggs and the skulls, that they might get through the 35,000 lines – a little bit quicker, but trust me, collecting all 35,000 is going to take a long time.
I came across one. It was in a level at the end of a tunnel.
Okay.
And there was someone banging on a door.
Oh, yeah.
I came across that one. I was like, what's down here? And I went down I just stood there for a minute and just enjoyed the audio.
Good.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, actually, and that one, that we had some special guests.
Yep.
Who, we actually, this was the first time we ever had done this. We had put some, you know, win a line or for charity auctions.
Right.
If you won the charity auction, you would have the opportunity to be a voice in Halo 3.
Right.
And some of our really good friends, and everybody knows this, is from Red versus Blue. So our guys from Red versus Blue won this great charity. They just gave a big pile of money to some charity. I think it was PAX.
I think I was there.
Oh, were you
that
really?
Was last year at Child's Play.
At Child's Play,
and
right.
It was like 20 grand or something.
I know, it was a lot.
It was unbelievable.
So it was really for a good cause.
Right.
And we were thrilled to have them. We know Bernie and all those guys. And so we thought, well, it would be more fun than just to give them some random line of screaming death.
Right.
Let them have a little fun with it. And so the skit that they did involves, I think, just about every one of their actors in pairs. And it changes for easy, heroic, normal, and legendary. So.
I had the biggest smile on my face because I just sat there and I was like, all of a sudden, everything's fighting and battling in another room. And I just sat there and I was like, okay, time to go back to work and started shooting things.
Well, you know, whenever you do stuff like that, you want to make sure that you know, you can't get killed during one of those.
Right, exactly.
It's like the Gravemind moments and the Cortana moments. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Hopefully that doesn't give anything away. But those moments in the game, when we first started having them in the game, we were getting the testers going, I died during that because I was being eaten by this thing.
Because you get so distracted by what's going on.
Yeah, so it's like, we really can't do that. We've got to make sure when those moments happen or story moments happen that it's not possible for you to get killed at the same time. That's just not fair.
So in this day, you know, you talked about starting, jumping all over the place, but you started stalking 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
With you know, you're working on the, you know, with the original Bungie games and so forth, and before that, things have dramatically changed both in terms of games, but really in audio. I remember the reel-to-reel Ataris.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, and I'm holding my hand up like they're. So has it gotten? What has allowed you to be more creative, more flexible? You know, with the dawn of the computer age and editing and whatnot.
Well, I still remember, and it doesn't seem that long ago to me because I'm so ancient, but I still remember when my partner Mike Salvatore and I, and we had our commercial music production business in Chicago, and I remember when we decided, well, we needed to get some extra equipment, so we got some new tape machines and we got some new stuff, and then we thought, well, let's make sure we never run out of those things we always run out of. So we got a big box of razor blades and a box of
cutting
grease
tape.
Pencils.
And editing tape, too?
The editing tape,
right.
And it's like, wow, we are set. Well, of course,
2 years later.
Hilarious. Probably less than 2 years later. I mean, I don't think we used an entire razor blade. I don't think we used, you know, more than 5 inches of the tape. And, of course, having a box of those white grease pencils
they go
is hilarious.
Forever.
Because the only time you would use them is to, like, rock the tape over the head and make one
micro, just
micro
little slice, right.
Yeah, but we have a whole box of those grease pencils. I mean, immediately digital audio came in and everything is being done digitally. And the ability to edit and retrieve just massive amounts of data, audio data, because of digital recording is the breakthrough that allows games to be what games are. You could not do an interactive entertainment product without digital audio. I mean, the fact of having all these files as digital files that are instantly accessible.
Right. Randomly accessible.
Randomly accessible. It's the thing that makes what we do possible.
You also, you know, do you wonder, could you do, we talked about the Cortana, you know, in the E306 video or the E306 trailer, you know, where you were working and modifying her voice. Would that even be possible? I mean, I guess you'd use a harmonizer in those days.
Yeah, I mean, Music Concrete was just the you know, the term that happened in the 50s of manipulating tape and making loops. That's why we call them loops, by the way, is because they actually used to take a piece of tape.
And loop it.
And loop it, you know, make a circular loop out of it and then run it between two reels.
Right.
So, you know, if you think about all that, you had to do concrete things to manipulate sound. You had to run it through real-time processing, and you had to, you know, do all sorts of mutilation to the tape even. So now with all of these plugins that we have to do things, and we do a pre-production, we have this huge number of plugins, especially the company we like a lot is Waves. We use their plugins like crazy. All of us have this giant suite of Waves plugins. And then on Halo 3, we were actually talked to the Waves people and got them to give us some plugins that we could use in the box. So the Xbox 360 supports software digital signal processing.
Mm-hmm. DSP,
and
right.
So we have real-time DSP on the fly using Waves plugins for limiting compression. We have it for, we use the Q for EQ stuff in real time. And that's just been, that's only going to get better, because to be able to do that stuff in real time, so it's not pre-processed, it actually, you have DSP that actually responds to game locations and elements and things is great.
I also want to talk to you, continuing on here. We talked about one of the biggest parts of the game is multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
By now, millions of people have played the multiplayer.
I know, already.
A week later.
It's incredible.
That, to me, when we were testing it earlier this year, mm-hmm. and I had it in my 5.1, and I heard the rat-a-tat-tat from across high ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that, to me, blew my mind the way I felt like I was in... I was in the moment because the audio. I knew I had to get there because something was going on.
Right. Well, you know, that's interesting because we would listen to. I mean, you listen to newsreel footage, or you listen, especially. I mean, there's so much of this on the news.
Kids are going, "What's newsreel footage?"
Yeah,
right.
Of course. Yeah, the kids. How old is this guy? that's the kind of sound you know is really distant gunfire because the main thing about doing guns in movies or guns in a video game is that you can't get the dynamic range of a real gun. If I were to fire a real gun right now into this room, it would blow the microphones out.
Right.
Wouldn't sound that much louder than how you and I are talking to the listeners, but to you and me, our ears would be bleeding.
Be ringing,
Yes. So that dynamic range that happens in real life is really hard to get across. So in order to get it across, you have to have loud things have space to be loud and soft things seem soft. But just... having the exact same recording get softer or slightly muted because of EQ with distance doesn't really give you the same effect as truly, really, really far away loud sounds.
Right.
So we actually recorded true far away loud gunfire.
Right.
And we had that sometimes in our ambient tracks. So we would say, well, it should sound like someplace there's far away gunfire, but it has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the game.
Right.
So we thought, how can we make this work so that really all the way across the map, you are hearing a gun battle going on that's really happening.
Right.
So we called that audio level of detail, which is kind of silly, but our weapons fires are stereo sounds. There's all sorts of Foley for the gun. There's many, many things that happen when a gun is being fired if it's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it's super, super far away, it's just one sound. It's just a mono far away sound.
Right.
And so what we needed to be able to do is have the game engine actually crossfade between those. So as you get further away, the sound that of the recording that we made of the gun close up starts to crossfade with this single mono sound of it's being very far away. So it had to sound the same. But it's the same frequency of, you know, it's the same weapon firing at the same frequency.
Right.
So it's actually happening because somebody's doing it. But once we put that in the game and actually tweaked all these engine sounds and weapon sounds to have this really, really far away detail, it seemed like so much fun. Suddenly, especially if you're being shot and then you die.
Right.
And you spawn someplace much further away, you'll actually hear the battle you were just in and you died in. You'll hear it from far away.
Right.
And that was something we just hadn't even anticipated, how cool that would be. And you knew exactly, oh, it's over to the left and it's way over there and I got to get back to it.
One of the things that I enjoyed when we were playing Valhalla on the beta was I died a lot. And
so
I had my 5.1 queued up and I was sniped out of the man cannon.
Okay.
My body flies to the ground into the creek.
Yes.
And then I'm under the water. And the audio changed underwater.
Right.
I thought that was just phenomenal.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because I felt, I was like, it feels like my head is underwater. Because I can hear things it's underwater like, now.
Right. As long as you accept the fact that when you're dead, you're still listening.
Right.
To things. And, but yeah, that's actually, it's funny because it's sort of a hallmark of Bungie games. If you played Marathon,
right.
They actually had a really fun underwater.
Underwater scene, yeah.
Yeah, underwater stuff. So, I think we had this on, we had it on Halo 1 and Halo 2.
Right.
I think we finally sort of even perfected it a little bit better. It's just something you want to make sure that whenever your head is underwater, that it, so it's a global effect. We put all sounds as though you're hearing
right.
them through water.
Right.
And then we put an extra sound that only plays when you're underwater at the same time.
Yeah, no, it was great. The, how do you, you know, we know what a gun sounds like for the most part.
Right.
So you know where this is going. How do you, what, how do you say this is what a needler sounds like?
Right.
Or this is, you know, needler's been around. Grav
sure.
hammer.
Right.
Well, how did you, whoom? Because everybody I talk to loves the grav hammer.
Yes.
Unless someone's coming after you.
Right, right. Well, that's actually a blast. I mean, alien weapons, alien vehicles, it just lets our creativity go crazy because, well, you know, we depend heavily on the designers and what they say. They'll tell us exactly what's happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the artists will create something that, you know, looks the way they want it to look.
Right.
But when we go over to an artist or a designer and we'll say, well, what do you think this is going to be? They'll always say, well, you know, the gravity hammer has this big field effect of gravity when it comes down. Boom!
Yeah.
So they'll always make some sort of sound effect
right.
with their mouth.
So they're getting you started.
All right. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
You got it. So it's that's just always a way to start. We, you know, our artists always are making sound effects with their mouth when they try to describe what they want to
right.
see.
Right.
You know, when the needler goes, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ricocheting off the rocks and stuff. So that gives us a start. And then we're like, well, what is this made out of? Well, it's this bunch of glass needles that, like, you know, shoot out of this thing, and there's plasma involved. And so you're like, okay, whatever that means.
Right. So it's got to be glass because it does have a glassy yeah. tingle to it.
Yeah, right.
You
and
know,
when it explodes, all the needles burrow into your body and then they explode, we actually have glass breaking at the same time.
Yeah,
along
it's,
with the explosion.
It's pretty just it's to really crunchy. Drive it home.
Yes.
You talked about alien vehicles, and one of the alien vehicles that was in, I'm not going to say whether or not it's in Halo 3, but one of the alien vehicles that was in Halo 2 was the Scarab.
Yeah.
And that sounds mechanical,
mm-hmm.
even though it's an alien vehicle.
Right.
So that's one that I thought was interesting is that
yeah.
it's
well, it's so big and it's making one of the things we really wanted to make sure is that every time there's a footfall of the Scarab, it just sounds like there's an earthquake. It just,
yeah.
it's pile driving its foot into the ground and
right.
it shakes and you should hear that. And then you look at all the joints that are moving and you want to hear that. Metal scraping and something that's causing that those joints to actually move and lift up and stuff. So
yeah, no, it was it's interesting because it reminds me of one of the scenes in Saving Private Ryan at the end.
Mm-hmm.
One of the scariest moments for me was when the Germans are coming around the corner and you don't hear them. All you hear is the squeaking of the tank for
right.
probably like 3 or 4 minutes and I can't even, you know, the level is
yeah.
getting so amped up and then all of a sudden they come around and it's a precursor to the fear. And that's kind of what that reminded me of is
right.
that, you know, you can feel it and I know it's there someplace.
Right.
God.
Yeah. Well, both Jay Wineland, my audio lead, and C. Paul, you know, it's just so much fun to see them continue to work. The details that goes into making a vehicle come to life. I mean, Jay can. One of these days, you should look at Jay's stuff and see how many voices are being used just on the Warthog.
Yeah.
Just to make the Warthog seem like it's real and drivable, and all the different moving parts on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just an amazing amount of audio voices that they're all separated out and do this stuff.
You know, it's been fascinating playing through the game. I finished the game last week.
Good.
And I had a great time with it.
That's
I mean,
great.
I don't have to tell you that. But I listened, just to get back to what I was saying earlier, I listen to the games differently than probably other people.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about BioShock
sure.
and your games. To me, the audio is such an element. Do you think it's underappreciated in the industry? Because you can't print an audio, you can't put audio in a magazine cover.
Right. There's no doubt, and I mean, this happens in the movies too. So, I mean, ours is a visual world.
Right.
And I don't mind that because it maybe it it means that what we get to do can be a little bit less, you know, explained. It's such a felt thing that, that and people don't tend to have that much expertise about audio, but they know what they like when they see it. And a lot of times, you know, we can help you like something better because it sounds good, but they won't necessarily know that's why they like something better. You know, if you were to just try to play through the game with no audio at all, you would have such a different experience. You know, the thing that always gets me about it being a visual world is that I blink, right? When I look from one place to another, when I turn my head, I blink, I close my eyes, but the ear never blinks. And it's such – it's the thing that your audio environment is something that never goes away. And so it's so assumed, it's much more visceral, I think, than visual. The visual senses seem, you know, like there's so much more information you think is coming through visual. But actually you're getting an amazing amount of information through the audio.
There's a lot of audio cues going on.
You just don't tend to talk about it as much.
To key in on them.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, one of the, getting back to what I was saying earlier about the audio in the game and the multiplayer, last night I was playing multiplayer, and one of the sounds I heard a lot of was the sniper in my skull. What is that? What is that,
you know,
sound?
I think C. Paul did it. I know it has something to do with a cabbage, and I think maybe a ball peen hammer. I can't remember exactly.
That's pretty much what my head is. Because it's got to be fun for you guys just to be able, when they come to you and say, we need sounds for the sniping and the blowing up or the grav lift.
And, you know, and we'll have some guys at Bungie will say, well, wait a minute. You've got this. It should be all more metallic because of your shields. It should have a shield sound and then a metallic sound. And I'm like, no. You know, by the time your skull is being caved in, that's all you hear.
Yeah, exactly. It's too late.
It's too late. Yeah. All the rest of that stuff, that's all you hear is the skull. So
it's yeah. So I hear a lot of that. I hear a lot of that.
Well, it's good. The sniper rifle apparently is working.
Yeah, the sniper rifle is, as well as we talked about the grav hammer and a few of those other weapons. Are you go online all the time? I have you on my friends list.
I know. I haven't been online since we released Halo 3, which is horrible.
Right.
I've been actually working on the soundtrack. So
yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, so I've been working on the soundtrack. I wish I'm going to get online eventually. I figure people will still be playing Halo 3 in a few weeks, so I'll be all right.
So you're going to come out with a CD of the soundtrack?
Yes, and at this point, the plan is for it to be a double CD. So
oh, really?
There was enough music in Halo 3 that it just seemed like it made more sense for me. I like the idea of putting a CD together that basically will take you from beginning of the game to the end of the game with some bonus tracks.
Right.
And essentially hopefully recreate your experience without too much repetition. So
right.
It's like there, if things you've already heard, then I won't play it again. But try to give you a memory of the experience you had when you played through the game. And that basically turns out to be definitely over 2 hours of music.
So can I make a request?
Sure.
Just add a couple of end cuts at the end, just some standard ringtones. You know, make your, because people are taking your stuff anyway, and they're making the Halo ringtone.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I figure, like, if you want to make your own ringtones, just go in there and you figure out how to edit it, and you put your own cross.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. I'm not going to make it easy for you.
Yeah, that's true. Because because a lot of people I know have the Halo ringtones.
Yeah,
and they have the.
Well, some of that I think is still purchasable. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you make it yourself, well, what can I say?
Yeah, but I know a lot of, because I was, when I told some folks over in the Xbox team, like, I'm going over to talk to Marty, they're like, ask him when the soundtracks are coming out. That is like, people are just deluging with that question.
Oh, good. Well, I want to get them out. The plan is that they'll be, you know, out relatively soon. So
right.
It should be a nice Christmas stocking stuffer, I hope.
What,
for the Halo fan in your life.
I talked to you about this at the beginning of the interview, but where you talked about injecting yourself in the beginning of the process. But are you, for instance, I think that with the game went gold, I think it was at the beginning of middle of September, the end of September, when you guys are done, basically. So are you working literally right up until that point? Are you a little bit before that?
Well,
or?
Let's see. The game went gold. I'm trying to remember. August 15th was getting scary. I think we moved into. It was sometime late August, and it's possible we even still had – we were certainly doing bug fixes and stuff into the beginning of September. But I actually think we might have released what we call release to manufacturing or released to certification, I should say.
Sure.
I think we released it to certification at the very end of August.
Okay.
So I don't think anybody here in this building was actually working on anything.
Right.
Content-wise. It is software. So to get back to that, at the end of the day, it still is a very, very sensitive, touchy, giant, complex piece of software.
Sure.
So any change, content changes, you're changing, you know, a zero and a one.
Right.
Some place,
anything could happen.
And anything could happen. You don't know what that is. So once you've tested the heck out of something and you're positive that it's working and it's passed certification, you know, even when you go, oh my gosh, the line where Guilty Spark says I need to fabricate the blah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that wasn't supposed to fade out so soon.
Right.
Which is actually something we did.
Right.
There's a line Guilty Spark says where he fades out too soon. And
right.
It's just like, oh, that we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
you
we
can't
shipped.
Do anything like
there's
that.
Nothing we can
it's,
do.
You're not gonna...
If I fix that, then who knows what'll break.
Then
in the
people
process.
Wouldn't play Halo again until the end of December.
Yeah, right.
Or
exactly.
Whatever. You know,
you just don't know.
That's the way things happen.
Exactly.
It's because it's an interesting process because you've been working on Halo 3 for so long.
Right.
Versus your earlier life, you talked about commercials.
Right.
Which was a lot quicker turnaround.
Absolutely. I mean, the one jingle that I did that people know about is the Flintstones Vitamins jingle.
Right.
So,
which is, could you just do a little?
Flintstones kids, 10 million strong.
Right.
And growing.
Right.
So, and at the time, my 5-year-old daughter sang "And Growing." But what was funny was that was the second jingle we did for the guy who wrote the words, "We are Flintstones kids." So he said, I need this, you know, I need "We Are Flintstones Kids" set to music. And we had something that was just horrible. And then we knew he didn't like it. And I thought, yeah, that wasn't very good. Let's try again. So Mike wrote one. I wrote one. And I wrote it, like, once again, I was in my car. I was sitting just before I walked in the house. I thought, yeah, I should come up with something. I came up with that almost in the same amount of time it takes to sing it. It's just like a 30-second quick thing. And I thought, you know, that'll work. The next morning, had Mike's two kids sing it for a demo.
Right.
I played the piano. They sang it. We took it to the guy, and he goes, that's it. So, I mean, there's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So write something that's 30 seconds long very quickly. But, I mean, you could do that 50 times and still not have something successful.
Right.
So it's just something you can iterate on quite a bit. When you get down to doing movie scores, it's so much more content. When you start to do a game, and I think I had something like 7 hours worth of musical data content available to me by the time I was putting it all together. That's just a ridiculous amount of content to go through. So it's a very, very different process.
I mean, I remember getting back to the dialogue. What was it, like 6 motion pictures worth of dialogue in Halo 3?
Yeah, I mean, or more.
Or more.
It's like no one's ever going to play through, even if it takes you, 12 hours to play through the game. The amount of dialogue you've heard in that time isn't, 3-4 movies worth. It might be for that moment.
Right.
But if you play it again, you're going to hear a whole other set of dialogue.
Right.
So we make it so you can replay it a lot and still have, hopefully, a relatively fresh experience with a lot of the dialogue. So there's just a ridiculous amount of dialogue in there.
What was the first piece that you wrote for Halo 3? Do you remember? Without giving any spoilers.
Well, I mean,
first and then the last piece.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, the first piece I think I wrote for Halo 3 that was specifically I knew was going to be something to do with Halo 3 was the E306 trailer.
Right.
Then when I started working just on music for the game, it's funny. There's a little piano piece that plays at the end of the end credits.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 3 pieces in the end credits. This is the last piece in the end credits. And that was actually one of the first pieces I actually wrote. And I didn't really use it for anything.
Right.
I didn't use it. There was no themes in there that I used. It was nothing. It
right.
was just this thing. And then I actually started writing a whole bunch of other stuff that was much more useful. So it ended up being one of the funny things is I think it ended up being the last thing I actually put in the game.
Was the first thing that you wrote?
One of the first things I wrote because I was like, finally, like, oh man, I need another 2.5 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. Here's that thing that I haven't used
yet. And I know what you're talking about. It actually worked really well.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because you get to the end after the end of the story and there's, it like exhales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was for me was
an
exhale.
Good. Yeah. And so. It was, it's like it, you know, it didn't have anything to do just about with anything else other than it's, you know, because it sort of comes out of my head. I'm
right.
sure it has tons of similarities to other things. But it's funny when Mike, my partner, Mike Salvatore, came out, and he writes a lot of music, and we collaborate on a lot of this music. So he came out, and as we were putting together the soundtrack album, he heard that piece because he hadn't played the game. And he goes, "Marty, you're noodling." So
yeah, interesting.
And I said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. That was one of me just sort of noodling and right. playing something that just was nice.
Just free form.
Just sort of free form noodling."
So that was what was the last piece to you? Do you remember what the last piece was that was in the game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on if you're talking legendary or you're
right,
talking
right. Okay, understood.
The last piece actually is interesting because one of the things I did at a certain point was I knew how much music had been written for Halo 1 and Halo 2, and there's tons of music. And there were some themes that I wrote, especially in Halo 1, that were done on MIDI instruments only.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I like those pieces, and they deserve to be...
They need to be updated.
They need to be updated. And it's like, you know, I could either choose to write all brand new music, or I could say, hey, wait a minute, this is a trilogy. There are themes that deserve to be brought back, and if I can make them... at least for me, better, then that'll be a thrill for me to be able to do that. So I had a lot of different thematic pieces that I brought back, and I had a full orchestra and a choir, and I reorchestrated it and re-recorded them and made new versions out of them. And one of them was a piece that was just called End Strings,
mm-hmm.
and it was at the very, very end of Halo 1.
Mm-hmm.
It was all MIDI strings, and I always felt like, oh, gee, that piece would sound so much better with real strings. So I just picked it up, recorded it with my string section, changed it just a little bit, just, you know, did some better orchestration with it, and it was still called End Strings. That's mm-hmm. the title of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went through the last scene, and CJ and I were looking at it, and I was thinking, you know what, I think, there's a lot of reasons why it would fit really nicely at the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
The whole scene is much longer than that, so I wrote a new beginning to
right.
it and then go into those end things. So that was probably the last main piece that I wrote for the game, although those end strings, that theme was heard at the end of Halo 1.
So sure, I remember where that.
It just sort of seemed like it was a...
It was a nice homage.
Yes, an homage, exactly.
Now, I want to talk to you about, we're going to wrap up in just a minute
sure.
or two, but I want to talk to you about, you know, Star Wars. You know, people have been calling Halo the Star Wars of our generation, or this generation. You and I had Star Wars of our generation.
Of our generation, yeah.
In Star Wars, you know, dun, 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 everybody knows da-da, that, dun, da-da, is da-da. Is the Darth Vader theme.
Right.
What would you say is Master Chief's theme? Is that
is that
the Halo theme? Because Star Wars is the Star Wars theme, so...
There's a couple of things I don't like to do, and people have asked me about this, and sometimes and I don't even think that it's a bad thing to do. It's just not personally something I like to do, and that is to do the Wagnerian, this is the sword theme, and
right.
this is the, you know, Siegfried's theme,
right.
and the leitmotif, you know, that happens. And it can also sort of turn into Peter and the Wolf, where, like, this is the Ducks theme and this is the yeah. Peter's theme. And I love that stuff. I think it's great. But I don't want to approach a game that way. I feel like it could sort of handcuff me. I'd rather just say, you know, what's appropriate for the emotions of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I tend to, like, once I've started going through the process and making music for the game and I see how things sit, I'll bring themes back.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the UNSC military, and
right.
this is sort of a Lord Hood theme, and this
right.
is sort of a Cortana feeling, and this is sort of a Master Chief feeling. To some extent, I think if you look at certainly the da 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 da, you can certainly see that as like the heroic Master Chief theme. But I also think that that sort of swelling strings when he came through the fog in E-306, and that theme shows up in Halo 2, and then I think I use it even more in Halo 3 when he gets up in the opening cutscene. There's this sort of string swell that comes up as he stands up, and I use it a couple other times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give away where that is.
Sure.
But I ended up sort of like saying that's Master Chief doing his duty kind of.
Mm-hmm.
He accomplishes his duty. That's the sound you're going to hear. That's the music you'll hear for that. And then the in Halo 3, I think I have this little piano thing that sort of indicates Cortana.
Right.
And sometimes it's done on woodwinds, and then sometimes it's in the piano. So
it's really done on everything.
Yeah.
How do you look at multiplayer? I mean, multiplayer is all we talked about that earlier, being the gunshots and the Slayer. Who is that guy?
Oh,
Mr. Big Voice.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's
Jay's going to kill me. He's a great Seattle actor, and I just can't remember his name all of a sudden.
That's all right. I'll look it up.
I'll put it in. Yeah, he's just a great guy. He's the sweetest guy imaginable, and that's not necessarily his natural voice.
Right. You guys
okay, come on, yeah. Hey, badass.
Yeah, exactly.
And he does, and he's just really.
It's not like he goes home and goes, "Honey, get the mail."
Kill Dracula. He's a local Seattle actor, and he's just come in, and we just really wanted something that was fun to hear. And
oh, that nailed it.
Really, you know, and so that's we've got him back for all three games, which is great.
But what I want to ask you about, there's not a lot of music in the multiplayer.
Oh, there's none.
Yeah, I mean, so it's does that bother you?
No, not at all. I don't want to, this is just another personal preference of mine, basically.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to hear music when I'm playing multiplayer. I mean, there's nothing to score. It's, you know what I mean? Unless it's like, let's say you got the victory theme every time you won and you got the loser's theme every time you lost.
I hear the loser's theme a lot in my case.
I don't think that really does anything.
Right.
You know you lost. You're talking to your friends. If you want to play a soundtrack, this is where I think custom soundtracks makes tons of sense.
Right.
So, hey, if you want to play multiplayer and listen to, Britney Spears, then go ahead. If you want to listen to Korn, go ahead. I don't care. It's great. It's multiplayer.
Right.
Do what you want. I prefer no music when I'm playing multiplayer. I just want to hear every footstep.
Every nuance.
Shell casing. Yeah, I want to hear the best way for me to stay alive.
And right.
Music might get my adrenaline pumping, but I might miss the sound of the rocket coming at my head from behind.
You mentioned custom soundtracks.
Yeah.
So you don't like those in the game?
I don't know. Did you try custom soundtrack on Halo 3 yet?
It's not available, right?
No, it is available.
How is it available?
You didn't try it, which is nice to know.
Okay. So here's a little tip.
Absolutely, it's available. You put in your custom soundtrack.
Right.
And then you start playing the campaign.
Right.
Or you start playing Halo 3.
Right.
And just a little notice will come up and saying, oh, we notice you're playing a custom soundtrack. That's fine. Go ahead. Do whatever you want.
Right.
But since we can't control the mix, we're going to turn off the music and dialogue,
right,
and then you should have fun.
Okay.
So
you're just saying, I'm out of here. You pulled all your I'm taking my audio and going home.
Well, I mean, the truth is that there's nothing we can do. We can't control anything.
Right.
We can't do anything for the special for the cinematics. We
right.
can't do anything for the special moments. So I'm assuming that we're basically suggesting that if you're going to play the campaign mode, we believe the best experience is to play it
absolutely
the way we did it. Now, once you're playing it through for the umpteenth time, I have no problem with people saying, gee, I'd like to just listen to something else while I turn on all the skulls and play this one
right.
An encounter for an hour and a half.
Right.
So, yeah, fine. Play a custom soundtrack. And you won't hear Cortana talking, and you
right.
won't hear all the dialogue that you got tired of. So,
no, I tend to agree with you because I am an audio person, as we've talked about. I love the fact I don't want to listen to my music. First of all, I have the worst taste in music anyway. it would make you vomit if you knew what I was listening to. But being able to listen to you, and because you spent so much 3 years of your life working on this soundtrack, it's the least I can do is let you lead me audio wise, through this process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my approach is that look, we think we know, because we know the story, we're going to give you what we think is the best experience. If people don't like it, they don't like the music or the mix, then fine. I mean, that's a chance we take.
Right.
But we don't want someone to not like the game because they were listening to their own music the whole time and maybe they feel like, well, gee, I couldn't hear, any of the dialogue because I was playing Korn too loud.
Right.
So now they have control over that, but that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to have the best experience. So we're
right.
saying, look, we believe this is your best experience.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it a different way, you're certainly welcome to, but we're going to turn some stuff off.
Right.
And that's the price.
That's the price you pay.
But it's not only a price. I mean, it's like certainly it's very easy for you to have your old custom music during multiplayer because there is no music to turn off.
Right.
And we don't turn off the announcer.
Right.
We let that stay on. But, we feel like this might actually lead even more to some better machinima because you can tell the Xbox that you're playing a custom soundtrack and maybe play nothing.
Right.
And then you'll hear, you won't hear dialogue and you won't hear music. You'll just get all the sound effects and Foley and weapon sounds.
Right.
And now, so then you can go back in after you pull it off and start editing it. You can put your own music in. You can put your own dialogue in.
So there's a little tip for you.
There's a little tip. Put your own dialogue in and try to lip sync to whatever's happening. So
people are doing that.
I'm sure they will.
I'm gonna have to let you go. I could go another hour with you. it's fun coming over here. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
I should get Jay and C. Paul in on this at some point too. They're incredible.
Oh, I'd love to get these guys in here because it's you guys are such a talent. It's such a critical. You've created a hallmark sound for our generation.
I think for this
generation, just in terms of the, you talked about the opening scores of dun 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 dun, that whole routine and the beautiful music at the beginning of the E3 trailer, which is always fun.
Thanks.
I just really appreciate the work you guys do.
I appreciate that too.
And I can't wait to get the soundtrack.
Well, me too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be actually mastering it, this next week, Monday and Tuesday. I'll be mastering it
and then hopefully it'll be available on, you're gonna have it on iTunes or the Zune store. Remember, it was not on the Zune store. There's a little kerfuffle around that.
I have nothing to do with how it gets distributed.
You're just the artist doing his job. Yeah. Just making beautiful music.
I sometimes talk to people about it, but I don't know exactly what the distribution plan is.
Well,
whenever
it's available, I'm sure it'll be available on Bungie.net for sale. Let me know and I'll put a link off to it so people can know. And
great.
And there we go. All right. Marty, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, thank you, Marty. That was it was a true pleasure to talk to him. I could have gone another hour with him.
He's got some great stories.
Yeah, I mean, when he talks about the Flintstone kids and how he came up with that, and well, you know what? I want to go back. He talked throughout the interview about some of the guys that work for him that did the sound effects, and I want to try to get some of those guys on.
I'm sure they'd love to get
Frankie and Sketch on as well, but those guys have been so freaking busy with launch.
Yeah, they're probably really looking forward to some time at home.
Yeah, it's going to be a good holiday for them. They get to play some games, they get to kick back. All right, so we've talked a lot about Halo.
Yes, but we kind of had to. People were expecting it.
Yeah, they were. I'm sorry, people are IMing me, and it's just it's a little distracting.
This is why I didn't bring my laptop.
Speaking of this, one of the guys on the Zune team, the Zune stuff's out this week. The Zune news.
Yes, the Zune news.
So we want to talk about it now, or you want to go talk about that in gadgets?
No, we're talking about it now. Let's talk about it now.
So the Zune announcement's out. Do you want to do a recap of them, E?
Sure.
After you start hacking?
Yeah, I know. So Zune news. There's a bunch of new players announced, plus a bunch of software news. So, three new players announced.
Yep.
There's the Zune 80, which is our new hard drive-based player. Slightly larger screen, even though physically the entire Zune is smaller than the old Zune.
Right.
Which is now known as the Zune 30. So, 80 gig hard drive player, 3.2-inch screen, Wi-Fi, etc., etc. Then we've announced two flash players, the Zune 4 and the Zune 8.
Right.
With video screens. I think a really nice form factor.
Right.
They all come with the Zune V2 firmware, bunch of new features. The really great thing that we've done is we're also going to release this firmware for the original Zunes. So if you bought one of the Zunes that we announced last year,
yep. If you have the Halo 3 Zune?
If you have a Halo 3 Zune, you're going to have the same software features as someone who goes out and buys one of the new Zune 80s this Christmas.
Yep.
But a bunch of features. My favorite one, and this is the one that I'm really glad will work on my old Zune, is wireless syncing of your music.
What's that, E?
So, there's one catch, and that is, for wireless syncing to work, it's got to be plugged into power. It won't wireless sync on battery, right. Because what we don't want to do is have your Zune sitting in your backpack, just syncing all night, and then when you go to use it in the morning, it's dead.
Yep.
So let's say you come home, you pop your Zune into your dock, or you plug it into your charger, whatever. Once it detects that it's on AC power and it's idle, it will connect to the Wi-Fi network and start syncing. So you can have your home PC, your laptop, whatever, and be pulling podcasts and new music from Zune Marketplace, ripping CDs,
so if
whatever.
You have your PC in another part of the house and you got your wireless network.
Yep. You don't need to plug your Zune into it. Just plug your Zune into power. It will connect up over your Wi-Fi network, and boom, you're done. Which is great if there are a lot of podcasts you're listening to, whether it's yours or or even other podcasts that I hear are out there,
right,
it will just automatically wind up on your Zune.
But I don't want you to blow by the fact that it has podcasting support, which is huge.
It has podcasting support,
which I've been playing around with.
Yeah. So, but I love the Wi-Fi sync.
In fact, I got to get a new feed all set up for the Zune.
Yes.
So
yes,
when people download, when people are ready to go, I'll just have a little feed there, and it's pretty good. It's pretty straightforward.
Yep. And there's other features too, like we announced support for some new video codecs, support for directly bringing over things from Media Center that you've recorded.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff, but I mean, for me, wireless sync is the great one because my computer that my Zune is paired to is in a room of the house that I almost never go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to come home. I'm going to plug it into the dock that sits next to my 360. It'll just automatically sync, and then I'll have whatever I want on it when I come to work the next day.
I've actually, the guys are right now from the Zune team are IMing me, saying how excited about podcasting. Yeah, well, it's about time, guys. So anyway, so that's the Zune news for this week. Check out Zune.net if you're interested in that.
So it's been nice to see how excited people are that we're bringing the new features to the old Zune.
Right.
People have really picked up on that and been excited about it, and it's nice to see. It's a big deal.
All right, what else we got here? E, you want to talk about, you want to do Name the Game?
I love Name the Game.
Yeah, I know you love
Let's do Name the Game.
Let's do Name the Game. Here's the Name the Game effect from a couple weeks ago. All right, so there you go. That was the Name the Game from, actually, I think it was last week, because you weren't here last week. I did the show by myself.
Right. And I have absolutely no idea what that is.
Because I don't think you've played it yet. That is Eternal Sonata.
I have not played that yet.
You have not played
meaning
that.
To play
That's
that.
That's why I was just looking at your gamer card, and it is not up there. So, but somebody who did probably play it and recognized it was, let's see, Malik, gamertag Malik, as in Darth Malik from Coder.
Oh, okay.
So that's his gamertag.
Nice reference.
Congratulations, you grabbed yourself a cool headset from our good friends at Turtle Beach, your 4X1. We'll send that out to you when I get back.
Yeah. And when you, it's probably in one of these crates here, so you'll have to find it before.
Yeah,
you
I got all these. I'm in like 9 crates,
and you're not done yet.
So I want to also let people know I have this 37-inch screen in here.
Yeah,
the TV
is much nicer than the one I've got.
So I got this 37-inch screen, and this has to be moved to another building because I'm moving another. We're all kind of spreading out across this campus.
Right.
I got even money. That's not making it. I don't think it's going to end up in one piece.
If I were you, I'd do it myself.
I was going to, but
I
don't have time. I got stuff to do. We got to go to this thing. I don't have time.
Oh, yeah.
So
I already moved my monitor, but I've got like a little 24-inch.
And maybe it's my secret excuse to get a newer one.
Well, yeah, okay, then there's that. In which case, we should just put that in my office for safekeeping.
Right,
and I'll make sure that nothing happens to it.
Make sure that it breaks. You know, I played with Funky last night.
Yeah,
we played. He's doing good. He's working. You know, Funky, you got to work on a new Xbox 101 intro.
He was going to do a new jingle. He was going to get me in a jingle. It's
right.
Come on.
Right. The problem is I talked about Funky Boss, who does the Xbox 101 jingle that we're going to just roll in just a moment, and people started sending me jingles.
Uh-oh.
Just unsolicited.
Uh oh.
Some of them were good. Some of them weren't very good. But
the unsolicited stuff. It's kind of like the random messages that we get over live.
Which I would love to read them right now, but I could probably do them on .com. But
there's actually been an interesting trend lately. A lot of people are going back and listening to old podcasts of yours.
Right.
Because I've been getting a lot of messages from people going, hey, E, what's the name of that company in Chicago you buy espresso beans from?
Oh, that's an old one. That's like 3 months ago.
Yeah. So I've gotten like maybe, I don't know, a dozen of those a week.
Right.
Lately I've been getting just a lot of weird messages, and it's like block, block, block.
Well, people need to know that if you do, usually when we're doing the show, if you mention a company or something like that, I'll pretty much put it in the link dump. So they should just go to that show, and it's usually in the link dump.
I think a lot of your listeners have no idea about the link dump.
That's possible because
they're getting it through iTunes.
Yeah, they're getting it through iTunes.
Way.
I get a ton of people through iTunes, so they may not know. If you go to majornelson.com, there'll be a post up. You can do a search for whatever show you have, and it will show you all the little links that that we talk about during the show.
Yep.
So Xbox 101, Funky, bring it.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
All right, Xbox 101, I did it alone last week.
And how'd it go?
It was all right.
I've done it
before.
I
used to do a show before you joined me. I don't
really?
Know if you know that.
What?
Yeah, I used to do a show.
Wow.
So the Xbox 101 this week is courtesy of E, Sick E.
Sicky?
Ill E.
Is that I'm sure that gamer tag's taken.
Yeah, Sick E. Yeah. Speaking of gamer tags, what's the 101 this week?
So how to find another gamer? A lot of people are always wondering, hey, how do I compare my achievements to yours? How do I find so-and-so? It's actually really easy, but a lot of people don't know about it because they don't poke around Xbox.com and look for all the different things we've got there.
Yep.
So go to Xbox.com and sign in with your linked gamer tag.
Which is click the little upper right-hand corner, click sign in.
Right, where it says sign in with your passport.
Yep.
And on the menu bar, at the top of the screen on the far right is community.
Okay.
Just go to the community front page.
Okay, I'm doing that.
And about a third of the way down the page, right in the center of the screen, is Find a Gamer.
Okay.
And you just enter in the gamer tag you want into the text box, hit Submit, and it will pull up their gamer card.
Now, one of the questions, in fact, the person that suggested that had this problem was his gamer tag is Anders So, A-N-D-R-S-0. He wanted to know if there was a way to do this.
Yep.
So he wanted to actually compare it. So some people wanted to compare to you. So what you need to do is once you're on, you're landing on their gamer card page, you can actually just click Compare Achievements.
Yep. And it will pull up all the games you've played, all the games they've played, and you can drill into each game and see, you know, which Halo 3 achievements you have, which ones they have.
So Xbox 101 is just go to the community front page of Xbox.com, and you don't need to know who the person is.
No.
You can just type in their gamer tag and compare. People compare to you, they can compare to me, whoever they want. Trixie, whatever's going on, whatever's floating their boat.
Although comparing to Trixie, you know.
Yeah,
although she'll kick your ass on Hexic.
Unless you're, or Zuma.
Yeah. Or really any of those. What's the Luxor 2? Last I heard, she was playing quite a bit of that.
In fact, we're going to go see her because she's at the WCG Grand Finals here in Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's got her slave there too.
I was down there for a couple days, and it's been quite interesting down there. Place is huge. The Xbox booth is enormous.
It's the Quest Event Center.
Yep.
So the place where the Seahawks play.
It's in between. The event center is in between Quest Field, where the Seahawks play, and Safeco, where the Mariners play.
It's the big.
It's where they have the flower show and the
big home shows.
The big home shows and all that stuff. So that's where the World Cyber Games is this year. Now,
this is the World Cyber Games World Championship.
World Championship. So this is everybody from all over the world. I did the U.S. Finals last month in Orlando.
Right. Where you may have misplaced your passport.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Precisely. That was the dreaded Orlando trip.
Which will live in infamy for a very long time.
Kept the internet busy for a while talking about that. But WCG and then next, I mean, Microsoft and Xbox and Games for Windows sponsoring that. So we're doing some other cool stuff with them next year. But Trixie kind of handles that.
She's been doing a lot of stuff with them.
WCG,
daily trip reports and all sorts of things.
So. Yeah, so you need to...
It's a fun show, and it's neat to have it here.
Right.
Just be able to head over, and it's not a big, got to make a trip. And so, of course, if you don't live in Seattle, it's not quite as convenient for you.
And the weather is perfect Seattle weather. It's cold and dark and rainy.
Yeah, it's definitely fall. Did we get summer this year? I don't remember it.
No.
Did I blink?
A week. There was like a week.
Okay.
My wife has a convertible, and she didn't have the top down that much.
Oh, that's right.
It was kind of gross out.
I'm actually thinking about it. I almost have my heart set on getting another convertible.
Really? You had one before, right?
I've had a couple, and I miss them. Now, you got to talk about this. This is freaking cool.
So, we do these things. So, I have Video Monkey, who works for me. We do all the videos, and we're traveling. We're doing these things called panoramas, which I'm going to rename 360s, because they are.
Well, no. Okay, you can't use panorama or 360, because those names are both confusing.
Well, so this is... No, it's going to be one or the other.
No. So... I should explain what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the reason panorama is confusing is for everyone who works here, panorama was the code name of games for Windows Live.
Right.
So when people hear the word panorama, they think of that.
Well, that's not
of a video, a display panorama.
Right.
And calling it 360, gee, I don't know why that would be confusing, Major.
So anyway, it's basically what you can do is we go up and we can shoot the. Video Monkey basically plops his camera down. He's got what's Canon does he have? This is kind of in the gadgets part.
He's got one of the new D20, D30. No, that's Nikon.
No, he does have the Nikon. You're right.
Did he get the Nikon?
Right, he's got the Nikon.
Okay.
So he drops the Nikon down as a special tripod fitted with a head, spins it around 1, 2, 3, 4 images with his fisheye lens, and then stitches them together and puts them up on Xbox.com. And
it's freaking awesome.
And you just kind of sit there and you spin around and you can get a whole view. So even if you can't go to the World Cyber Games, you can go up there and look at some of these panoramas. If you go to the World Cyber Games page, it's under the photo gallery. There's the Rock Band panorama, main stage. There's all these great panoramas that kind of put you in the center of the action.
Yes.
And the resolution is amazing. They look great.
Yeah, he does a great job with these. So we did them when we, well, we started doing these at E3. We're always looking for something different to do. And then if you look straight down, you see the...
That's cool.
You see the Xbox 360 globe. So that's kind of cool. So check out the games for, or the World Cyber Games stuff that Trixie's doing. And I've been down there, and I'm going to be down again a little bit this weekend. And then I don't know what else. Do I got any guiding gadgets to talk about?
Do I have any gadget? You know, in between football and Halo...
Hey, are you going to bring your... We got to go on this trip. Are you going to bring your Sirius radio so we can drop that in my car? You have the one that...
I can. I mean, it's only a two-hour trip, so, or less, maybe.
Oh, is it?
2 hours?
Yeah. We were, yeah. So, I want to talk about that. We were talking about... Ian and I were talking, we realized, hey, you're going. No, I'm going. We should carpool. We should go up together. And then I was like, well, should I bring the equipment and we could record a show in the car? It would be you and I for 2 hours just... Exit.
Well, there's driving the video game.
Right. So. We could talk about what's going on in the Prius, which again, great video. I don't know if it's interesting audio. It's
definitely not interesting audio. And we'll blather about like Halo and some people we know on live.
Right.
And probably, yeah, so the gossip would probably be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll just spare people the yammering.
I think we should. Yeah. And it's not a particularly interesting drive. So it's I-5.
Yeah.
I-5, it blows as a freeway.
All right.
I mean, every time I go down to Eugene and back, it's 6 hours on I-5. It's a struggle to stay awake. It's a very boring drive.
Good to know. You're getting me excited for this drive. I'll tell you that. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about. We're going to be moving, so when next time we record the show, we'll record it in my new digs. Or your new digs, because your office is moving, too.
Yeah, but I'm moving, like, 20 offices.
Right. So. I'm moving a building and a half.
Yes. Which is, it's going to be weird because we can't just like pop into each other's office. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll be over here a lot. I mean, it's just the team just is so big. We're spreading out. That's what's going on.
Well, KP and Trixie got walkie talkies, so I don't know. Really want to get a walkie talkie.
I'm not getting a walkie for you. No. Yeah. That's what IM's for.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why they have walkie talkies. Other than, I mean, walkie talkies are kind of cool, but
yeah, if you're 15 and you're in the woods. They're cool. Well, not when you're like, working in an office.
And I have a car bed with a walkie-talkie, and you could get one, and we could talk to the other car beds.
Here's
a great movie.
Here's the walkie-talkie. Okay, it's called the phone.
The phone. You know, Tycho calls you on that sometimes.
And so does Trixie. I don't know why she can't do that.
Well, right now she's at WCG where we should be.
Yeah, we should probably go down there.
I gotta go down there when I finish packing.
We're gonna wrap up the show. What else? Boy, we had interesting weekend news. That's all I'm gonna say. Very interesting weekend news.
Yes. God, did anything? I'm trying to think like competitively what else happened.
Well, there's rumors that this PS3, this cheaper PS3,
40 gig. Let me see if I can remember what the announcement was. 40 gig PS3.
Yep.
No back compat.
No back compat?
Which is weird because it's only in software. So I think it's just a marketing thing. Because if it's truly only in software on the 80 gig model,
right,
then the only reason to leave it off is because you don't want to invest the effort in it.
Right.
People, you don't think it's important, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they took out the memory card slots. Like
they did?
The ones where you could put in like MMC cards and flash cards and things
card to read. Reader.
Yeah, they pulled that out, which makes sense for a low-end model. But the no back compat confuses me.
Well, we'll see what happens when they come out with that.
Yeah.
What are you playing on your Wii? Did you get Zelda for your DS?
Actually, I was just going to talk about it. No, I completely spaced pre-ordering that.
Yeah, me too.
So we were actually talking about that last night.
You're not going to buy it and play. You're not going to be playing it for the 2 hours while I'm driving. We're not pulling. No.
No.
No, that's not happening.
No, I won't. I am bringing my DS. When I travel anywhere, the DS comes with. But I don't have Zelda for the DS yet. I need to get it. Maybe
we could stop someplace, because when you try to, you know, we talked about this on an older show. When you try to find like a hot title or a hot piece of hardware, you can't really find it in Seattle because there's all these techies up here.
Right.
Whereas if we're going to be going to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. The EB by my house.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gets cleaned out.
Yeah. Just like the ones down here by the office.
So maybe we can pick up Zelda when we at one of the rest stops.
Or at, yeah, Walmart or something.
Walmart or something. We'll find something like that.
So this is weird. I have no idea where this came from. Chibi Robo for the DS is a Walmart exclusive in the United States. Which is just had me going, huh? Because my girlfriend loved Chibi Robo on the GameCube. She wanted the DS version. So I said, okay, I'll get it for you. I had to order it from Walmart.com. Couldn't get it at Amazon or eBay or anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. That's just, that's...
Hey, I don't, by the way, where are my discs?
What discs?
My Hero discs.
They're... I'm almost done. We're actually, the rest of this weekend before we go, mm-hmm. I have to finish watching them. Because obviously season two has started. I've still got like two discs in the season one set to go. So I have to finish watching those so I can start watching the recorded season two on my TV.
I let you borrow my discs.
You were supposed
Jesse
to be
Jesse sent me those discs. The producer of Hero sent me those discs.
Thank you, Jesse.
And I haven't had a chance to watch them yet because you...
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I let you borrow them when I left for the fated Orlando/Tokyo trip.
I honestly was not thinking I was going to really like the show. For some reason, just the marketing or whatever didn't click with me. And I wasn't real excited, but I figured, oh, what the heck?
Now you're all into it.
Yeah, it's great. And a couple of times we've had like friends over and we've watched, you know, four episodes in a row. So this weekend we'll try and finish that up because I do want to get to season two now that it's going.
So I'm not going to be doing the Sirius show this week because we'll be traveling.
Oh, that's right.
It's on Tuesdays. Usually I do Tuesdays from 2 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 12 Pacific. Been doing that for quite some time, probably almost a year and a half, maybe more than a year and a half. Great guy that calls in. There's this guy from Boston. I think his name is
Boston.
Joe. Boston. Wicked awesome. Everything's wicked awesome.
Well, it's like, yeah, okay.
So, but yeah, great. We usually take calls like and so forth, but I won't be doing the show this week. I keep forgetting to talk about that show.
Taking calls is scary.
No, I love it. I love taking the calls.
I have enough problem, though, censoring myself when we do this show.
Right.
Just as I'm talking about things, remembering, oh, wait, I can't say that.
Right.
You know, we haven't announced that yet. And trying to answer questions in real time.
Right.
It happens all the time when I go to, you know, PAX or E3 or WCG or something. People come up and we start just chatting about stuff. And I wind up a lot of times having to stop myself in the middle of a sentence and just, yeah, sorry, I can't talk about that.
Right, right. So we can't talk about that. Anything else we can't talk about?
There's lots of things I can't talk about. Which ones do you want to not talk about next?
I have a headache.
And you have to go to WCG. That's a great combination.
Yeah, I mean, my head is like pounding. I know. It just started like an hour before you walked in, and I'm just like, it's like completely out of its mind right now. I think I played too much Halo last night.
You what?
I played too much Halo. That's probably why.
I don't think that's possible. Maybe it's because your TV is too small. Yes. Get a larger television.
But 47 inches.
That's too small.
Well, how big is your 60 what?
61.
It's not
and
that.
Do you have surround sound on the 47 inch?
Yes.
Is it good surround sound?
Yeah, it's one of those Pioneer systems.
Oh, okay. Those are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So
it's not DefTech, but it's nice.
What?
I have nicer speakers than you.
Okay.
Receiver, too.
Good for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good for you. This is the way we're going to end the show?
Apparently.
All right.
A two-hour drive should be all sorts of fun.
Yeah, this is going to be lots of fun. This is going to be tons and tons of
fun. My cold meds are kicking in.
You bring your music?
I'll bring my Zoom.
Yeah, because I got the Zoom connector in there.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I
don't like half your music, yeah.
I'll bring my Zoom, and I'll throw some other random crap on there. We can listen to
some podcasts. Yeah, I was going to say, who should we listen to? The 1UP one? You know 1UP, guys? When am I getting an invite to come on the show?
That's a good point.
I'd love to have you on my show.
The Bungie podcast.
The Bungie podcast?
You just had Marty on.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, those guys have been busy over there, so I kind of give them a little bit of...
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, have we done a show since... We haven't done a show together since Halo 3 launch. We haven't talked about the night of the launch, have we?
No, I haven't.
That was amazing.
Well, I was in New York. I talked all about it last week.
So, real quick, I'll talk about what happened here, just because it's cool.
You were here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the night started around, I don't know, 9-ish. I got invited to the Bungie launch party at their offices, which was amazing. They're in the middle of remodeling their offices, so they had most of it just cleared out. They had the big screen down so they could show things on it. Great, you know, food, drink, all that jazz. We hung out for like an hour with a bunch of friends and having a great time. And then we walked over to the multiplayer lab to play a little H3. We'd all brought our MUs.
Right.
And we hopped on live. We're playing, having a good time. All of a sudden, my chair is getting like pushed in. And I'm like, wait, what is going on here? My chest is right up against the table. And I start pushing back and I can't.
Who's pushing your chair?
Well, that So I turned around and I'm about to yell at whoever's behind me. It's a cordon of people watching Bill play.
Oh.
So Bill had come to the launch party.
Bill Gates.
Yes. And was sitting down right next to a bunch of my friends playing H3. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I suppose if they want to push me out of the way for that, that's okay.
He gets pushed around. Okay.
Yes. It was very cool to watch the Halo 3 vidocs that are up on Marketplace with the Bungie crowd, just to watch like the reaction of people as they were up on the big screen,
right?
Or you know, people applauding their friends as they were talking.
Right.
It was a really cool experience. So after that, they piled a whole bunch of people in buses and shipped them off to either Best Buy or EB and Redmond Town Center for the Midnight Madness events.
Right.
And we went to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Huge crowd. Line
it was wrapped, like 800 or 900 people.
Yeah, all the way around the building. And these people were so jacked up. It was amazing.
Of course they were.
Yeah. So one of the guys I was with, I mentioned him earlier, Bathari from Bungie, happened to be his birthday. And someone was like, oh, you're not going to be able to get people to sing him happy birthday. It's like, are you kidding me? There's hundreds of people in line here for Halo 3.
They got nothing else to do until
guys,
midnight.
There's a guy from Bungie here. It's his birthday. Can we sing him happy birthday?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
So you lit it up.
Yeah. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. There were a bunch of MVPs there.
Yep.
There were just, I mean, everyone was a huge fan. The one really sad thing was the first guy in line. Bill came to Best Buy.
Right.
And the first guy in line got his copy of Halo 3 autographed by Bill on the cellophane.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I hope he kept it wrapped or kept the cellophane, because that was kind of pointless to get the
wrapping. Yeah, unwrap the cellophane, pull it out, and have him sign the disc or the jacket itself or something.
Yeah.
What did he get? Did he get the Legendary Edition?
He got... No, it was either standard or limited. I don't remember. But it was just, the event was so cool. It was just so neat to be around that many people that were that excited for something.
Right.
And people just were having a great time. And it didn't matter that it was, you know, cold out and that it was, you know, after midnight. And it was just, it was an awesome event. I hope people went out to, you know, whatever was near them and had a good time.
A lot of places had some events and a lot of places unfortunately didn't.
Weren't there like 10,000 stores open at midnight? Some ridiculous number like that?
Well, enough to sell $300 million worth of stuff in a week, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Or $170 million in the first day.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, just to be clear, E and I see none of that money.
No.
Yeah, we see none of that.
No, not at all.
That's not what we're doing. All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up right now because E and I have to pack up and get on the road.
On the road again.
Don't do
just
that.
Just can't wait to get on the
Want to thank
road
my
again.
Friends at CentricCom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. You know, we run a community server.
Yes.
Which has been holding up quite well. Lithion has been doing a great job. He's still tweaking the beta site, beta.majornelson.com.
I need to check it out more often. Every once in a while, I'll make a link. I'll go look at it. Ooh, that's cool. And then I forget to go back and check it out later.
Yeah, we're working on a couple things. I sent him a list of stuff to do, so we're going to tweak some things.
He should be getting college credit for this.
One of the things we're working on is, I'll talk about it. One of the big challenges when you run a blog is you can register on my blog, and with a lot of blogs you can register, but a lot of people allow anonymous comments, and a lot of anonymous comments, sometimes there's some value in them and sometimes there's not.
It depends on the topic,
right? Clearly
certain topics attract a certain amount of spite,
right? So so we're working on maybe to have it so that when you load up the page you don't see anonymous comments by default. You have to tick a box, kind of like Slashdot, where they're kind of buried a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So we're working on something like that. We got some other tricks up our sleeve that we're working on. Made the page wider, as you saw. So anyway, beta.majornelson.com. Thanks to CentricCom.net for hosting that. Cashfly, which hosts all the podcasts. And damn it, I need to put up some video. I have all the New York video that I need to spit out into a file so that we can post that.
Nice little Zune friendly.
Yeah, that. Zune or even iPod. I have an iPod version as well.
You should be able to crank out both very easily.
I can. I just haven't had time.
I've got all these things going on.
Yeah. So Cashfly hosts all those. I want to thank them. Do you have anything else you want to add before we get going here?
Yeah, I'd really like to finish kicking this stupid cold.
As would I, and I'm sure the listeners would like that as well. I want to thank Marty O'Donnell for spending some time with me this week. It was great to hear from you and share your thoughts with the show. Hopefully, we'll get some more Bungie folks on in the future.
Yeah,
we should. I mean, we know a bunch of them. I'm sure if you invited them, they would come hang out.
Again, I've just completely been leaving them alone because they've been so busy with the launch.
Yes.
So now that that's past us and all this other stuff is kind of past us, we can get them on. We got. I'm working on a Mass Effect show.
Oh, cool.
Guitar Hero show. Oh, well, we'll see about that. Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Now that the song lists are coming out, pretty much, I'm not sure if they're complete, but they're large.
Right, starting to trickle out.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
So I got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be an interesting holiday season. So I will we'll chat with you next week. Thanks for downloading the show. Remember, have fun, play fair. Also, send feedback or file a complaint, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you on Halo, everybody.
Bye-bye.
It's after show time. We're doing an after show?
Yeah, we are doing an after show.
Cool.
You have to go pack, though. You have to pack.
I have to. Well, first I have to go find crates to put my crap into.
There's no more crates left.
There's got to be some somewhere. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. I have to empty out my fridge so I can move it.
Why do you have a fridge? I don't understand that. People that have refrigerators in their offices, why do you have a refrigerator? We have free drinks right down the hallway. Why do you have refrigerators?
So in the free refrigerators, is there beer?
All right.
My refrigerator has beer in it.
All right. Touche.
End of story. And, when we do big things, 24/7, the team working really hard, I'll fill it with, Red Bull and Frappuccinos and stuff like that. Okay. But mostly it's beer.
Okay. That's fine. That makes sense. You think this place is going to have broadband we're going to? Are you going to bring a 360?
They had Wi-Fi last time.
You should bring a 360.
I mean, I don't expect we'd be able to get on live. But my laptop works.
Dude, you're the director of operations. You can swing something.
Yeah, but they're going to have some crazy firewall, and it's not going to be worth the trouble. I'm sure we could, find their IT guy and get him to set something up for us, but it's just not worth the effort.
I should have told them I'll go and do this if I can have a direct pipe out so we can just stay connected.
I mean, we're going to be busy. Last time, I was, I wasn't getting back to my room till 9, 10 o'clock at night.
All right.
So... It was, you just don't get a chance to sit down and talk to people when you don't constantly, have your mail going and people running to talk to you and, problems coming up. And here's a place where you can, go sit down with, someone who does the same job you do for another group.
Right.
And just sit and brainstorm. Right. Hey, what kind of, you know, what have you learned this last year? What kind of problems you run into? Got any great ideas I could use?
So also, well, I mentioned this in the main show, but if you're listening to the show, you go up to my post. And if you, again, if you have any comments about our services, not about the Xbox 360, I get a ton of feedback on that. You're always welcome to share that. But this is really an interesting opportunity to share feedback specifically about other Microsoft products and services, as we talked about in the show. Live Search, Spaces, Office Live. I can't even think of all of them.
Yeah, there's Front Bridge. And
which I don't understand.
It just hosted Exchange.
So Front Bridge. Or maybe there's some new services, you know, how's our social networking?
Tell us what other services you love and why.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting to hear, you know, here's why I like Flickr. Here's why I like Facebook. Here's why I like MySpace.
And some people are emailing me major@xbox.com, which is just fine. I'll take that. Because I'm actually going to print out some of the better ones. You know, I don't care if they're good or bad. I mean, if they're saying we suck or we don't suck.
Right.
If it's well written and there's some good thought behind it, I'm going to give it to Ray Ozzie.
Yeah. If it's just, you know, you suck, I hate you.
Right.
It'll get traction.
You suck, Zor.
But if it's interesting and you actually have a point and a reasoning, then absolutely, we want to hear that. So, a slight deviation. Just every time you give out that major@xbox.com, it makes me wonder how many people email me at e@xbox.com, because that's not me.
Who is it?
There is no e@xbox.com.
Oh, that's a good point.
So,
they're getting bounce backs.
Yeah. So, well, they should be.
Yeah. Unless we make you that address.
Well, I've wanted that for a while, and I don't think we do the Xbox.com emails anymore.
Really?
So I think that's only for people who were here back in the day.
Which?
I don't think they make them now.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Although I should actually, I've never actually gone and asked and said, hey, can you set up a second mailbox for me, e@xbox.com?
Well, you don't even need to do that. Just send a message to E over Xbox Live.
Oh, they do.
And they do.
And some of them, lately I've been getting actually a higher percentage of, like, interesting questions that I can answer.
Like what?
Like, hey, E, I'm trying to do this. Or, you know, how did you get the Mongoose Splatter achievement in Halo 3?
Oh, that's cool.
Or, hey, I was having this specific problem. Here's some details. Can you point me to where I can get some help? You know, things like that. As opposed to, can you tell me when this feature's coming out, or when's the new dashboard, or, you know, you guys suck, or, you know, make Xbox Live free, you know, who knows.
Right, right. Cool. So. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up because we got to get going here. We got to pack. We're moving offices. We're going to this thing. We got stuff to do. We got World Cyber Games. Trixie's messaging me to get down to World Cyber Games. So we're wrapping it up, E.
Well, when Trixie calls, we answer.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I got to get her back on the show. And I got to get her back on the show.
Yeah.
So we'll have her on next time.
The peeps love Trixie, especially your voice.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.